Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. My co-host, I'm not joined by him. He's my co-host, Chris Schaefer.
You didn't even start it the way you were supposed to.
You know what, Chris? Because I'm going to give everyone a gift. I said if you guys could get me to 50 reviews on iTunes, I would give you the biggest, loudest, manliest yes you could ever imagine. And then I thought, I can't get any more manlier than the great Chris Schaefer. So I thought, Chris, why don't you give us your absolute best yes?
I don't know. It's not me that they want. They want your yes. That's what everybody...
Yes!
Oh, my gosh. That was great. That was very...
50 funny. Reviews, baby!
Nice job. Thank you, guys. We've been waiting months for Jason to blow his voice out in the first 20 seconds of the episode. That was it. Thank you, guys. We've been counting and we've been watching. Thank you so much. And the reviews are really showing up. Thank you for posting those on iTunes. And Jason has a special one. If he can get his voice back, he has a special one to read for everyone. That we really appreciated.
We appreciate those reviews, guys. They go up every single day. We like watching it. We're at 53. And I'll tell you what, Chris, if they can get us to 100, that would be epic, dude.
Yeah.
Because these reviews, the reason they matter is because they stroke my ego. But they also matter because they help people learn about the show. Because life these days, Chris, it's all about algorithms.
Yeah.
And I guess the more reviews you get, the more you show up in searches. And maybe one day, maybe on those featured new up-and-coming podcast page in iTunes. So, Chris, one of our reviews here is from Fred, BFred123. 5 stars, great podcast. Let me tell you how great this podcast is. I came home from work one night to find the house lights down low and candles everywhere. There was a trail of rose petals that led to the bedroom. My smoking hot wife, was planning a romantic evening. I think I know what you mean by that, Fred. I said, quote, I really enjoy the gesture, but tonight is the night I listen to the Paid Search Podcast. I'll have to take a rain check. These guys rally, know their stuff, and tell you how to do it step by step. They have really helped me become a better AdWords guy. Fred, appreciate the review.
That's
what... Next time you take a rain check, just call me up.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, that's inappropriate, but... That is an amazing... I laughed and laughed about that one. That one was really funny.
That was hilarious.
I appreciated that one. And we've got other ones to share, but I think we're going to hold off because we're going to get straight to the meat of the episode, reports. If Jason can talk, we're going to talk about reports. Jason, do you still have your voice with you?
You know what that J stands for, Chris, on my cup? Winning. It stands for winning.
Right. Of course. That makes sense. J for winning. Well, how to write a winning report in AdWords. We've done an episode before, how to read an AdWords report. Now we're going to talk about you guys who are creating the reports. You business owners, you in-house managers, freelancers, and agencies out there. How can you create an AdWords report? And Jason's come up with a great outline, brainstormed, and Jason's going to take it away. We've got some real good solid stuff on what we think can really create and what's important for a winning AdWords report.
We're going to break it down by who the report is for. But before we do that, let's just talk about what is the point of an AdWords report? Why even do it? And to me, Chris, it kind of goes back to reporting and accounting. One of the reasons accountants exist is to get data into the decision makers' hands. Banks, should I lend to this company? Investors, should I invest in this company? So in Google AdWords, you got to get this data into the hands of decision makers so they can make good decisions. To me, Chris, that's the whole point of reporting. And that leads to the question of, well, who's the decision maker? So we've broken down reporting to 3 topics here. Reporting for the business owners / in-house employees who are reporting directly to one business owner or manager, boss, or whatever. Number 2, freelancers, which you and I both have experience with. And number 3, agency reporting. And we're just going to kind of go over how we think about reporting for each group, the tools we use, the things we would look out for. And we'll start off with business owners, Chris. So I think my main point here, Chris, is that there's really no defined template for a business owner, for reporting up to a business owner, whether they're looking at their own reports, which I think they should do because it's a little bit different than just looking at your AdWords account every day. Or if you're an in-house employee reporting to your boss, for one company. There's no real set template that you have to report. It depends on the person reading the report and their goals. So, Chris, I've never really done AdWords in-house for one company, but you have. So can you kind of talk about your reporting experience? And I know it was long ago, so there may not have been reports, but what did you communicate to your boss when you were in-house?
Yeah, back when I was in-house, there wasn't online reporting systems. There wasn't an online software. So what I did was I created Excel spreadsheets, or I just copied the data over and presented it in a Word document, you know, and highlighted certain things. Basically, what I learned for in-house reporting is each person, you know, if it's a large company you're working for, or if it's a small company, you're going to report to either one or multiple people. And what I found is some people consider some things important and others don't. So you will need to highlight what's important. A person that's going to be primarily associated with conversions. How many more, do we have more or less conversions? You're going to make sure that that's highlighted in the report. Maybe that's essentially all there is. It's going to show the trend of conversions over time, up and down, talk about seasonal changes, stuff like that. Other people will be concerned about competitors. How are we stacking up against so-and-so? How is our search impression share? Where is our position in according to this competitor versus us? How are we doing there? And other people are going to be interested in, you know, ad copy. When we changed this ad copy, did it do better here? Or did it improve this? Or do we improve that? When it comes down to it, I think, Jason, you're exactly right. There is no template. But I think the main thing is keep it simple and don't talk about the things that they don't really care about. Hit the high points. And if you don't know what they, if they have not made it clear what they care about, here's how I usually approach it. I'll go through just kind of a hilltop. I'll bounce from hilltop to hilltop. I'll go, here's the clicks and here's the click-through rate and here's the conversions and here's the conversion rate and here's the search impression share. Here's a few of the keywords. Here's what the ad copy looks like. There you go. Any questions? You know, and, and they will immediately ask about the things that they're concerned about. They say, oh, look at those keywords. What is that? What is the difference between keywords and search terms? Explain that. You know, they'll start asking about that. So you don't want to inundate them with too much and right. just hit what might be interesting. Kind of present them a plate like you're at a fancy dinner and they present you with the dessert plate and they say, here's our seven options. Show them to them and see what they point at. And then you can go further into that. The last thing you want to do is bore them with too much stuff.
All right, that's a great point. And you can almost, you know, when you're inside of a company, you can almost look at the report, not to be fancy, not to be inundated with data, but to be more of a conversation starter with your decision maker. And you can give them feedback on how things are going generally, and they can poke you with questions. And then what comes out of that conversation is maybe you learn things like, hey, this segment of our business isn't as profitable. Thanks for telling us this is where most of our budget is going, but we need to be spending it in this segment. For me, Chris, if I was in-house, what I would be doing is going to AdWords, downloading my data columns, like at the campaigns tab, ad groups, keywords, search terms, and then, and also ads, downloading it to spreadsheets, removing the grid lines. And I would not focus on long tail data and have huge long reports. I just keep it very, very brief and to show them where most of the budget is being spent on those top 10, 20 keywords or whatever.
Yeah. One thing that I really love is I like to surprise them with one interesting point each time. So I'll say, here's the clicks, here's the click-through rate, here's the conversions. And then in the end, what I'll say is, oh, and don't know if you're interested, but you may be surprised to know that 80% of our conversions come from mobile. They're like, wow, maybe I need to talk to our mobile guy, our mobile web developer, make sure we're optimized for our website. And then another month you talk to them and you say, oh, I don't know if you noticed, but our biggest competitor, XYZ, our ad impression share, they're there 90% of the time, but we outrank them 85% of the time.
Right.
You know, they're like, oh, okay. Those little tidbits about search impression share, about device type, about competitor analysis, those kind of things aren't typically going to be on a report, but they're really interesting tidbits that would be way too much information all at once. But if you just say one little thing, oh, that's really, okay, that's good to know. And that's probably about all they can digest at that moment. But it's right. That kind of stuff is like, oh, okay, I'll learn something there about my business.
One final tip I'd give, Chris, to the in-house people is AdWords better be working and you better be able to clearly make that case very simply and just quick way. Like, hey, it's really working. This is why. And if it's not, don't just come with that report saying it's not working. Come up with ideas for the upcoming month about how you're going to make things better. So, Chris, getting into the next group of people who have to deal with reporting, freelancers. But on that first day of the month, you don't feel so free, Chris. You're bogged down doing reporting. Yeah. So talk to me for a minute or so about your journey to your reporting system now. Like, when you first started freelancing, did you know what you were doing? Did you have questions? Did you search things out? How did this process go, going from having no clue how to do reporting to you got a great system going now?
Yeah, so I can tell you, when I first started, I did not understand communication of AdWords. I just presented a dry black and white spreadsheet with clicks and a massive export of all the keywords, clicks, impressions. It was awful, and it was part of a long spreadsheet, and there was no analysis, there was no interpretation, there was no C-level summary. It was just data. Eventually, as I've been in for a while, they started coming out with online reporting.
Chris, take us back here, because I don't think that'll be clear to people who are basically my age. When you say online reporting, you're not talking about third-party tools. You're talking about Google AdWords.
Oh, well, yes.
So you've never really relied on that, besides downloading the spreadsheets, you never relied on like PDF reports and that kind of thing?
From AdWords, no.
From AdWords.
Okay. No, I would say analytics is probably a better resource for AdWords, because it comes out looking a lot nicer and you can compare it with website stats and stuff like that. As far as AdWords itself, I've never really used it. And we'll talk about a little bit about some resources outside of AdWords, paid and free, that you can use. But as far as AdWords reporting, no. Other than just exporting a spreadsheet.
You had all these spreadsheets, very complicated, really not adding any value, if I was looking at that. So how did that transition to some kind of tool?
Yeah, so what you'll find is, when you're a freelancer, and Jason, I know you can relate, when you first get started, you'll have 5, 6, 7 clients, and those are your babies. You spend way too much time managing those on a day-to-day basis, okay? I mean, you're going to sleep thinking about, first thing when you wake up, you're going to check that account and see how that one's doing. I mean, you're going to just baby those accounts, because that's your entire job and you're really trying to grow your campaign. So what you'll find is, you don't necessarily need these large paid reporting systems, because you only have 5, 6, 7, 10 clients, something like that. So what you'll need to do is, you'll need to create something much more manageable, something that can get the message across, because you are so intimately familiar with each of these accounts. You know how to communicate that effectively, because you probably have a very personal relationship with the business owner or whoever your point of contact is. That's what I found as I started growing. First, it was just massive amount of data. Then I started realizing I can really personalize these and make these important to each individual client. We'll talk later about larger scale stuff. But when you're in the mid-level freelancer, you have a couple clients, what you're going to look for is something that is simple enough that you can template everything. Okay. And it's not going to be something that you're going to need to buy at a scale, you know, that's cost thousands and thousands of dollars. There's no need to go out and buy large reporting systems that agencies would buy. If you're a freelancer, there are much more reliable sources that are templatable, that you can build very simple things with them.
So if you've got 5 to 10 clients, are you saying set up some kind of like Excel template or something where you can just plug in the number and already have the word clicks and conversions written out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say that there's a lot of value in being hands-on at the beginning and kind of writing this stuff, because there's two things you're going to need to learn to communicate to your clients, I think, is important, because I learned a lot of that talking and explaining. That's where I first started realizing that I like to do training, is because I do a lot of teaching. When you do reporting, you essentially are doing teaching, because you're having to explain and coach the person through this report and explain how it's working for them, right? You know, what this means, why this is good, why this is bad. So I would encourage hands-on. And if you have a big automatic reporting system, you're not really ever going to get your hands-on in that report and make it feel really custom to that person.
So for 5 to 10 freelance clients, you're basically saying that's like reporting in-house for 5 to 10 people.
Yeah, I would say so. What about you? I mean, do you feel like you, when you were at the point where you just had a few clients, you really had to nurse those clients and make sure you kept those as you continued growing?
Well, it's just like you're saying, you know, there's probably something out there like a reporting software to automate things, but you have so few clients and so much time that it's never really a problem, and you're not making a ton of money, so you're not interested in spending money. Right. But I would say I'm the same way. The one thing I did early on when I had 5 to 10 clients was I had a lot of commentary, and it really slowed down the process. And looking back, I think when you have 5 to 10 clients, a little commentary is good, but I don't think you need 2 paragraphs. I think really you could just hit bullet points like, hey, you missed 7 out of the 20 calls this month in the call details. Here's a screenshot of it. Answer your phone. Hey, we've been spending the full budget. We have a great CPA. We could be spending 30% more. Do you want to increase the budget? Just like bullet point items to point them in the direction of that. But quickly, Chris, if you're a talented freelancer, you will go from 5 to 10 clients to 20 to 30 and 50 and up. You will be in demand. And once you get to that point, this commentary thing, this handwritten reports using your own little template that you made using something like Word or Excel, it's not going to cut it anymore. Your reporting day will start running into the second, third business day of the month, and it's horrible. So at that point, I like using a tool. And there's 3 things you got to focus on here. Number one, speed. If you got to get 30, 50 or more reports out in one business day, you got to do it with speed. The second thing is templates. If you make one report and send it to 50 clients with their own data using a tool, that's a lot faster than making a ton of different reports or 50 customized reports. The third thing is automation. And there's a couple softwares that I've used, Chris, Optimizer and Report Garden. I recommend them both for reporting. And those are like a freelancer's best friend. You can set up template reports so you can get the data that you want to get to your freelance clients. And then you can apply those templates to your different accounts. And you can also automate those reports. And so you can wake up in the morning on the first of the month and your reports will go out without you even having to do anything. And if you scale a freelance operation, that's the point you've got to get to. And those 2 tools can do it. What about you, Chris?
For me, I think, Jason, I don't know if we're at the point where we're going to start naming some names, but I'll say one of my first areas that I went into was a reporting engine called Swydo, S-W-Y-D-O. Swydo.com or Swydo, I don't know how you, it's not English. But essentially, they do a great job of having very customizable reports. I used them for a long time before I moved on to a different system when I was first getting started. And you can make very colorful, nice reports. And these reports worked really well for me. And Jason, you're exactly right. There comes a point when you can no longer devote an hour or 2 hours to writing these very thoughtful, long reports.
Now, Chris, you mentioned Swydo. I'm going to talk about Optimizer and Report Garden again. These things are cost effective. And again, if you're going from 15 clients to 50 plus, use these tools, make a template report, make a handful of templates, depending on your different clients, apply them to your different accounts and automate the thing. And there's no reason reporting has to be a stressful day if you're a successful freelancer, because these things are templated, they're automated, and it's not easy, Chris. The one piece of advice I would give is it's not easy to go into these tools and just do it automatically. You really have to allocate like a full day to, just like you learn AdWords, you got to learn these tools and learn the tools, get some training from the companies, read their documentation, set up your templates, automate it, and you're done. And then when you get a new client, you just add it to the list. Chris, besides those tools we talked about, Data Visual Studios from Google, what can you tell me about this, and does it apply to a freelancer?
Right. This is a brand new thing, guys. This is something, it's called Data Studio or Data Studio. So just get on Google and do a search for Data Studio, D-A-T-A. And this is a brand new thing that Google's releasing. It's really under the radar. And I say, and I'm sure Google's doing a lot to promote it, but here's the thing. I mean, Google has so much stuff and there's always alerts everywhere. It's hard to get everything across everyone's radar because there's so many things. But this is a really cool system that's completely free. It's outside of AdWords. And I've used it to create some one-off reports for clients. And here's what I like about it. It's basically a reporting system that can also act as a dashboard. It can be as simple or as complex as you want it to be. So I'm looking at one on my screen right now, and it's very visual. It can be colorful. It has graphs. It has numbers. It has up and down arrows on it. It gets to the point really quickly. And there's a lot of customizable features. And what's really cool is, first, it's free. Second is you can change the dates on these things. So you can go in and say, I want to see last 30 days. So you can send them a report that automatically shows last 30 days or last month. Or they can just save the URL And when they want to see what's going on, they can change it. And I go up to here and click the top right and say, just show me last 7 days, and hit apply. Yeah. And it changes it automatically in that same format so they can see those numbers. I'll tell you, AdWords with the old interface, the new interface, I don't care what interface. If you're not an AdWords pro, if you're not in it every day, it's overwhelming. And there's always things popping up. There's always alerts that you don't understand. In the end, these type of reports look really great. So if you're a freelancer, if you're an agency, this new Data Studio could work really well for communicating either kind of a dashboard view or possibly, I haven't found it to work yet on a scalable template style, but it could also work for reports on a monthly basis.
Right. Well, this is interesting. So you can create a link for each client account in your MCC and send it to that client.
In the same way that you would write a Google Sheets or a Google Pages or whatever it's called,
right.
You can create a shareable link that either that person can just see or anyone with the link can see it so they can pass it around. They can forward it to, anyone within the company.
And then they can change the date range and check anytime they want.
Yeah. So it's essentially a free report, free dashboard system that you can link a lot of different things. It's not just AdWords. It can be analytics, a lot of different data points.
What's it called again?
It's called Data Studio is the name of it.
Okay. We're going to link to that in the show notes and all these tools that we mentioned. Now, Chris, when you go beyond freelancer, the next level up, the final level, is the agency. And I think all the things we just talked about apply to agencies: speed, templates, automation, tools, all that kind of stuff. But there's one kind of tidbit we want to point out, both if you're a client, knowing that agencies are doing this to you, and then also agencies, to give them kind of just advice, like maybe agencies who are listening, Chris, that aren't traditional AdWords agencies, they kind of are maybe web design and they do AdWords and now they're trying to report it at scale. Our piece of advice here is you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot, and you really have to think about what kind of data you're giving your clients and what effect that data is going to have on them, cause and effect. So the classic example, Chris, is an AdWords account that's not tracking all conversions. Maybe it's tracking calls from ads, but it's not tracking website calls and it's not tracking the lead form for whatever reason. And say it's a moving company and you get most of your leads through the lead form or website calls, but you're spending $1,000 a month and you get 2 calls from ads a month. So you're only reporting 2 conversions to your client if you include conversion data, even though those other conversions are not being reported because they're not being tracked. So even though you can explain that to a client, the process of them seeing 2 leads and a $500 cost per acquisition for a mover every month, it's just negative. And you might be knocking it out of the park for that moving company. AdWords might really be helping them grow their business, but your inaccurate reporting, even though you're trying to be as transparent as possible, can cause them to make a bad decision going back to decision making and cancel AdWords, even though it's really helping their business. So you've got to know what your report, what effect it's going to have on your client if you're an agency, and you've got to be upfront with the client and then act accordingly and report the right things to the right kind of person. And then if you're the client, Chris, just know that agencies are doing this to you every month. They're crafting that data and they're very good at it to get the right results. So if you could just be honest about it and have a conversation client to agency, I think it's best for everybody.
Yeah. There's 3 things that I think if you're working on scalable, large scale reporting, and we're talking about Optimizer, by the way, it'll be linked on our PPC resources on our website. Also, Jason will put it in our show notes, but Optimizer, I think, is what point we're at now. Talking large scale reports, hundreds of reports going out or somewhere around there. There's different levels you can buy. But Jason and I both like to use that. We like that tool. And whenever I'm thinking about scaled reports, 3 things. Number 1, cost per conversion. Jason, I think you have exactly right. If you're not tracking every single conversion, and very few of my clients track every single conversion because it's impossible to have a fully closed loop. Sometimes even if you have online purchases, somebody will call and then purchase over the phone. I mean, there's a lot of loopholes there that can get lost. So cost per conversion, cost per lead is a very dangerous one to put because you might have a slow day. Imagine in December for a B2B business. Yuck. I mean, those cost per conversions can really go up and they look horrible. If you sent someone a report that said $400 cost per conversion, I wouldn't want that on the first page. So consider sometimes leaving that off because it's not always accurate and it really paints a bad picture, like Jason said.
Right.
Number two, search queries. If you show search queries, which I encourage you to do because it's very transparent for you to share that information, I think it's important, but don't share 100 of them. Don't share 200 of them because that will expand your report and make your report extremely long. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of very boring, repetitive search queries that have one impression, one click. You know, this is not informative for the client. And then number three, keywords. Don't show all your keywords. Not because it's a secret. I'm not implying that you need to keep your keywords secret, but because this information is, again, not valuable to the client. And when you think about scalable, you need to think about the big clients that spend $20,000 and the smaller clients that spend $2,000. Don't build your reports at the level of the 20K and expect the $2,000 ones to fit that same report template.
Right,
you need to be aware of how that looks. So don't have 200 keywords listed. You know, you might need to have a percentage. Think about, you know, maybe the top 15, top 20, something like that. So that's how you can keep those scalable ones safe and they don't completely get knocked out by the huge scale difference between each of your clients.
It's all about cause and effect. If an agency shows a client 100 keywords, that's 100 different things for a client to worry about and ask the agency questions about. And if a keyword got maybe 3 clicks, Chris, and it spent 2% of the budget that month, why are we talking about it? It's not helping us to focus in on if that keyword should be paused or if it should be broad match instead of phrase match or whatever. The more data you give, the bigger the conversation we could get. But that's not a good thing because you got to focus on what's making a difference in the AdWords results. And that's the stuff that's spending all the money. And usually that's only like 10, 20% of the keywords at most.
Yeah. I had a great conversation with a client today. Well, he's a brand new client. He just signed up today. He does passports. And he told me, Chris,
get the weirdest clients.
It's I know it's get really
the weirdest
cool service.
Clients. Have you never heard of a mover or a divorce lawyer
or a plumber? I don't get them. Man. Yeah, I'll leave them all to you guys. You and Walt can have all those. But hi, Walt, by the way. Whenever I talked to this client, he said, Chris, I don't want to talk to you every month. I don't want to talk to you every week. I would prefer not to talk to you ever. I just want to know that the campaign is doing what it should. And he said, here's the one thing I want to know. I want you to meet my CPA. I want you to meet my cost per acquisition goal. If that's met, we don't need to talk because I don't care as long as that's being done. If you can communicate that, find out what that hot button is for that client, communicate that it's happening. You immediately, we're talking to the agencies here and freelancers, you immediately reduce the amount of time that you need to spend on the phone explaining these long conversations about why you have this one random keyword in there. Because they're not necessarily mad about the keyword.
Right.
They're just nitpicking your campaign because they're not happy with what you're doing.
Right. I've got a carpet cleaning client, Chris, and he doesn't care about what the ad copy looks like. He doesn't care what the search terms are. It's same thing. How many calls did I get for the cost? So every day he gets an automated report showing him the cost. Very simple for him to look at. He emails me back how many calls we got. We keep track of the CPA and it works out and you don't waste your time on things that don't matter. So I think the big thing for agencies, Chris, is consequences, knowing what's going to happen when you send out different types of data and sending out the right types of data to help your clients get the most from AdWords. Now, Chris, that's reporting and we didn't give any kind of set template. We didn't give any strict rules. It's more about these are guidelines that we recommend and then go with what works for you. The way you report is probably a lot different than the way I report, but the end goals are the same. So that's it. So Chris, little bits of show news here. We got new artwork. Been working with my designer a long time. I got the design done. She said she had never worked with someone as good looking as you.
Oh gosh.
And it was a pleasure
Why?
to draw and paint you.
All right. Okay. Well,
so she wanted me to pass that along.
Okay. I do like the artwork. If if you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, you're on YouTube, whatever, you'll see it. It's two happy guys just glowing and ready to talk to you about AdWords. I like that it communicates that. It's just big smiles. Jason's got his nice shirt on. I've got my ugly red t-shirt on. I think it personifies us very well and shows the friendliness and the excitement that we try and communicate in this podcast. So, you know, AdWords can only be so exciting. We appreciate you guys for listening because, goodness, who can listen for 30, 40 minutes to two guys talk about numbers?
Well, Chris, if you do want to listen, I got good news for you because now we've gotten so many complaints about this. Now, every single episode that we've ever done, all 90 of them, are available on your podcast players like the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, you should see all 90 episodes in there. And going forward, those ones are going to stay in there so you can listen to every episode the way you like to listen to episodes and you don't have to go to the website.
So that means episode 4 is out there? Episode 6?
Episode 1, yeah.
Episode 1, 6, 4, 12, all that old stuff. I went back and listened to episode 1. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jason Rothman. Welcome to the Pay Search Podcast. And then like a couple weeks afterward, he's like, hey, it starts to form. The scream starts to form. It's really funny. You can go back and listen to those old ones because it's, I think we had a conversation right after we recorded our first one or the next week. I was like, Jason, let's take up the energy a little. And you got a little offended.
That's all you got to say to someone.
You got a little offended, I think. And you just took it overboard from there. I've always regretted that I said more energy because now my ears burn every time we do the podcast.
Well, you get what you ask for in life, Chris. And what I'm asking for is to get out of here, to be done with you this week. But yes, next week, we will be back with episode 91, Chris, rounding the bases to the big 100.
Yes. All right. Well, as Jason leaves the room, as he so loves to do, thank you for subscribing and yelling loudly into the mic. Thanks so much, Jason. We will catch you guys next week.